Here sits the perfect family. Father has just come home from work, where he labors all day to provide for his family. He leads his family and loves them with all his heart as Christ loved the church. Notice how good little Johnny is. Here sits an all-American boy, an avid member of his local Cub Scout troop, who also sings in the choir at church. He obeys his parents and always completes all of his chores. Look at how Mother has labored over this meal to provide for her family. She is always taking care of the house while Father is working, and always has a meal ready when he arrives home. She lives her life to be submissive to her husband. Notice how happy Susie is. Susie is top in her class at school and a great tennis player. Her aspirations are to be as good a wife as her mother, and dreams about that boy who she can serve. Who am I kidding? This isn't how families operate in the 21st century. So how do you structure your family in a godly manner in these modern times? Follow us through Colossians as we discover the importance of family.
Oh, well, I know one thing's for sure. If you're trying to have that family, you're as frustrated as you can be. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I want y'all to know this. When we deal with family, how many of y'all have images in your mind? This is what it's supposed to be. I mean, and how many of y'all ever do this? And if it's not like that, I mean, you become a holy terror. This usually comes out at holiday time, doesn't it? There's a certain place the Christmas tree's got to be. There's a certain type of turkey you got to buy. You got to, you know, and if we lose this image, we go crazy. But you know what? Family's not an image. That's the way to live. It's the way of life. And so we're going to go through one of the things, if you all can put this in your summer planning, I know it gets crazy in the summer and we're everywhere, but these three sermons go together. Okay? And so I'm going to follow them in the order of Scripture. So today we start, what does it mean to be a wife? What does it mean to be a godly wife? What does it mean to be a wife that follows God? But before we do that, we got to back up and go back to verse 17. Because we got to understand verse 17 to understand the order of family. Now, how many of y'all believe there's an order to everything? Anybody? How many of y'all believe it? Or do you believe this? We can just randomly throw stuff together and it's going to work out. How many of y'all? This is what we've been doing for 60 years or so. How's it working? I mean, there's an order. And I want to tell y'all, I'm proud, man. I'm excited. I'm happy. And I'm proud of a lot of things. Now, I want to tell you, I am proud of the 20-somethings in this church. And I want y'all to just give them a big hand in the name of Jesus. The 20-somethings in this church. Let me tell you what they're doing. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. We're being invaded by 20-somethings because a lot of you all are older than you used to be. And these are your kids. I want to tell you something that they value more than anything that we're finding as they, if you will, emerge. They want to be married. And guess what they want to do? Stay married. Now, let's not go get the guilties, okay? For all of you who went through a divorce, I'm sorry you went through that painful experience. But guess what? We got to quit shirking away from what it takes to keep a marriage permanent just because it makes you feel bad that you got a divorce. Okay, watch this. Anybody that got a divorce, I promise you, you don't want anybody else to have one. Is that true? These are not fun experiences. I've never had somebody came to me and go, hey, I tell you what, man, I'm just having a great day. I'm getting a divorce. It may have felt that way until they saw the judge. And then after 50% of that net worth left, it wasn't such a great day. You see what I'm saying? But it's really learning how to relate. So I kind of want to start there. And I just want you to know that everything I talk about today is going to be opposite of everything you've heard on the news, the culture, and the world. Everything I talk about today. And so you got to make a choice. Are you going to follow Jesus Christ or are you going to follow what they say? Here's what I question. I think they're wrong. I don't think they're right. just because they got degrees and just, you know, I don't think Oprah's right. I don't think Tupac, Wupac, Dupac has a deep secret. I don't think some of these books that are out are very healthy, especially 50 Shades of something. you see what I'm saying? I don't think they're helpful. So what does it mean to really be married? Now, here's what I want you to know. If you choose to be married, then you choose to order up in a godly marriage. Does that make sense? And what did I say? If you choose to what? Be married. Now, a lot of you single, and guess what? If you want to be single the rest of your life, that's a God-honoring life. Even the great Apostle Paul said this, I choose to be single, and it is delightful. All right? Now, if you want to do basically what you want to do, do not get married. If you want to Burger King it out the rest of your life, have it your way, don't get married. I want to help all you young men. Red, are you listening? Are you listening to me, Red? This is going to happen to you, Red, in a few years, all right? You're going to be standing up here at the altar. You'll kind of go like this. And you'll look down here, and guess what's always down at the end of the church on that day? The most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life. It's your bride. And all you women have a bride look. I don't care who you are, you got a bride. I've never seen an ugly bride. Not one time have I seen an ugly bride. Now, I've seen some mishaps after the wedding, but I'm talking about during the wedding. I mean, it's this moment. I mean, it really, weddings are an illusion of things to come. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, everybody gets dressed up. They look pretty. They're on their best behavior. And then you go on a honeymoon for a whole week. Somebody feeds you, you know, you lay by the pool and you have sex anytime you want. Is that too strong for some of you? If you didn't have sex on your honeymoon, I have mercy on you, okay? This is, man, it's a great time. And then you come back and there's bills to pay and the cable TV doesn't work and the air conditioner blows up and you got to work overtime and your boss, then there's what? The daily what? Grind of life. But you know what? We're to keep an order in a position and we're to live out marriage. Now, I want to be very clear. Marriage, biblical marriage. Now, how am I defining marriage? Biblically. I really don't care how the world. You know what? I don't want to know what you say about marriage and I don't want to know what I say about marriage. Let me tell you what I want to know. What did God say about marriage? Now, church, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be painful for some of you. God does not care what we think. I know right now some of y'all's feelings are hurt because you actually think we care what you think. And you've lived a whole life telling the world what you think. And here's what's going to be so sad. You're going to die and find out nobody cared. I want to be that hard with it because guess what? We are living in a world where we think our opinion has more value than God's statement. Which is, God's the one that said, let there be light. And there was. So let me help you. There is no solar power without let there be light. Hello? There is no world without let it be. And who said let it be? God. Does God have an order? Yeah. I mean, if you spit in the wind, what happens? Well, what if you pray? I mean, you get all holy, do a holy dance and, you know, read scripture and you spit in the wind. What happens? Good. I want y'all to know that. Because guess what? I see a lot of believers in their marriage spitting in the wind, using a bunch of holy language, but the reason it doesn't work, they're spitting in the wind. And there's a rule. You spit in the wind, you get, you know, bad. You don't pull on Superman's cape. You don't mess with Jim. There's some things you don't do. Make sense? You got to realize God put an order. Now, this is the order. Okay, guess what? Men, God has designed you, created you, made you to be husbands. You got it? Men, God made you all men. Now, hon, I'm on a mission to reclaim your generation because I'm just going to tell you, you boys are soft. Your generation's soft. But hold on. Guess who made you that way? A bunch of pansy men who did not live up to their responsibility
as fathers because they were too busy showing the world how impressive they were. Now listen, God didn't call us to impress anybody. He called us to what? Live. And so if you choose to be a husband, then probably what's going to happen, you know, if you stick around marriage, there's a high percentage of chances if you get into marriage, then guess what's going to happen? Not only are you going to be a husband, you'll end up being a what? Father. That can happen. And now you got to decide, am I going to live out what it means to be husband and father? So, Red, back to the story. Here's what's going to happen to you. You back up here. Shazam, here comes this bride, most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. She's going to walk up here. Her daddy's going to look at you, and he ain't going to like you even when he's up here. And eventually, you know, the pastor's going to say, who gives this beautiful bride to be presented into marriage? And he's going to hand his hand in there. He's going to kiss his daughter. He's going to sit down. He's going to smile a little bit because he realizes his financial status just improved with a very few sentences. But let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Now, I bet you got, see, before this even happens, you got to walk on up. You can't do this at the floor. You got to get up here. And the preacher's going to look and say, Red, do you take her to be your beautiful wife, your godly wife? And you're going to say, I do. And as soon as those words come out of your mouth, guess what you've really confessed? I'm done. Then that really, hold on. I want you to understand that. Some of y'all are breaking engagements right now, but let me help you. I want you to understand this is the honest to God truth. I do. When I told Elizabeth Ayers on December 22nd, 1984, I looked at her and I said, I do. Guess what? I was 20 years old. I was brain dead. I had no idea what I was getting into. But guess what she's reminded me for 28 years? You're done. And guess what? We're on. Now, hold on, Shane. You and Hannah can't be on till you're done. I'm done with my way because I just took on what? God's way in our way. Now let's look at verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now that sets up what marriage ought to be. Now I've been trained in all the psychology and all this jazz. This works. The Word of God holds families together. Yes. Now, I think there's some merit in understanding why you might have problems. But guess what? There's no use to understand why you have problems if you're not going to let the Lord resolve those problems. Just knowing why you got that way does not heal the situation. Eventually, you got to use this word. You ready? It's a crazy word. But you're not going to have family life until you learn to do this. It's a crazy word. We hate this word. Submit. Okay, y'all look somewhat okay. And what do we not like to do in America? Oh, we hate submitting. By gosh, I'm American. I'll do it my way. I mean, I've heard people say, Sheriff, I've heard stupid statements like this. I'm a self-made man. John Paul, you ever heard that? No such a thing. Your daddy and God had something to do with it. Your mama carried you around for 9 months. And even if you didn't like them, they contributed it to you being here. How many of you all had a mama carry you? Was anybody here hatched? I mean, they just, you know, they looked under a log one day out in the woods and boom, you broke open. No, somebody had something to do with you being here. Somebody put something into your life. Well, what about DNA? What about it? Somebody gave it to you. But God's above it what? Oh. Now, biblical marriage is this: one man, one woman, one lifetime. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Now, we don't like that because we got, Pastor Dave, you're not being compassionate. What about 56% of people that divorced? They ended up in a painful experience and God redeemed them. Let's redeem the next generation. Let's tell the next generation you don't have to get divorced because you don't. But let's get rid of some marriage myths. First of all, the family on the video does not exist. Look at your neighbor and go, it does not exist. It does not exist, ma'am. Tell them, come on, it does not exist. Now, for you of those who are a little bit older like me, those shows were TV shows. They were on TV. Women do not mow the yard in high heels. They do not wear pearls. In the 21st century, they wear some kind of cool-looking running shoes, an old sweatshirt, their yoga pants, and they are ticked if they have to mow the yard when you come home. Now, sometimes you might get away with it, and your wife likes doing that zero-radius turn mower, but she's still mad because she thinks you ought to do it. All right? As much as you women want to be liberated, when it comes to grass, it's all our responsibility. See what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, we got these roles. I'm just telling you, it doesn't exist. I remember watching my three sons. I wasn't into it. They slept in twin beds. What kind of marriage is that? Don't y'all remember? Heavy TV shows and husband and wife sleep separate in separate beds. I don't want a marriage like that. I mean, if we get married in the name of Jesus, it's going to bother some of y'all. Y'all ought to have a hot sex life. I'm going to tell you who has the best sex in the world. Married people in Jesus. So you can take that 50 Shade book and throw it to the wind. That's the devil talking to you. That's not the best life now. The best life is Jesus Christ. You say, hey, y'all, how do you know about that book, Reverend? My wife told me that people were reading this stuff. She keeps me current. She didn't read it. She said, here's a review on this book. A lot of people are reading it. Now, why are people hungry for that stuff? They're trying to find some energy in their life. Well, I got to tell you a story that happened to me last weekend. Last weekend, Memorial Day, you all know our family's a big boat family. We're a lake family. And so we had to get all the stuff ready for the boat, and which was a crazy day, crazy weekend. And every Memorial Day, all my Memorial Days are, is to take stuff out and to see how bad it's torn up for the rest of the summer. In fact, what I do is tear stuff up on Memorial Day and spend the rest of the summer fixing it. For some insane reason, I find joy in this experience. There's a problem. I can't fix anything. I mean, my mechanical on scale of 1 to 10, I'm a -5. I really messed up this time. And nothing would work. And nothing would work. Like this was in your category. The electric system had gone out in the boat. Well, I'm flipping light switches. I'm playing with the TV. I've got Elizabeth on the computer analyzing all this stuff. I'm going all over the place. And the problem was the head facilities, which is a toilet on the boat, it wouldn't work either. This caused problems. I said, I got a problem. I pull in the dock and I look at my guy who knows how to fix things. And he goes, listen, I'll talk to you on Tuesday. I said, why? He said, just leave a post-it note of all the things that are wrong. I said, okay. So I stuck it on the boat and I called him Tuesday afternoon. I said, what's the matter? He said, you know, for a man, he said, you need to stay in the pulpit. He said, don't you ever, in fact, this is a true story. He said, I have taken your toolbox out of the boat and I have put it in my boat, and don't you ever touch a tool again. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't like you, but I like Elizabeth. He said, you endangered your family. I said, what do you mean I endangered my family? He said, you have hooked the battery up backwards. Now, I do know this much. There's a red cord, and it goes on the plus side. And then there's a black cord. It goes on the minus side. One's positive, one negative. I cross them suckers up. And you know what? No matter how many switches you flip, no matter how many words you say at your boat. I was talking about prayerful words. What were y'all thinking? Y'all got this summertime mind, so but hold on. Barbie, I could have had a prayer meeting over that boat, and guess what? It's not going to change. Because it's out of order. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something. We've been asking for God's blessing while we've been out of order. And I want you to hear me on something. You can pray. You can go over there to the Christian comic store and get all those books written by all those people. And all you're doing is enhancing their financial situation if you're not willing to follow God's order. This is how important God's order is. God said it. I got a lot of engineers in this particular service here at 9:30. You all know, don't you? Your engineer mind, there's rules in their day. There's rules. And it doesn't matter who's, that's the rule. Watch, I'm going to show you all a rule. What just happened? Did you hear all the engineers? Gravity. I mean, they were the little guys in physics class going, ooh, 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 I know the answer. I'm going, what's the answer? Gravity. Oh, gravity. I was that guy going,
did they really jump? Is that a jump? Or is that only a jump because we called it a jump? It may not be a jump at all. That's called philosophy. Or other words. We always try to figure things out. But there are rules, man. There are order. And today I'm going to talk about the order. And there's an order to your family, and there's an order to marriage, and you can either decide to follow it or you can cross the cables. And Raj, it won't run with the cables crossed, will it? No matter what we do, it won't run with the cables crossed. Now, how many of y'all trying to live out your marriage with the cables crossed? I promise you, I want you to examine that and just ask the Lord, Lord, am I crossed up? Am I out of order? First, the middle point, man, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's impossible to have a godly marriage. Please write that in your note. This is impossible without Jesus. So I'm not worried that the world says this and that about marriage. Because guess what? I want to tell you what God said about marriage. God created a man and a woman to be married, period. Now let me tell you why. That has nothing to do with politics. That has nothing to do with culture. There's no other way to reproduce. I know artificial, naturally. You know why? Because that's the way God made it. Well, I don't care how you feel. God doesn't care how you feel. Now, that bothers a lot of you. Well, I'm not going to follow God. There'll be a consequence for that because the cables are crossed. And see, you need to hear somebody. I don't care how mad you all get at me. When you stand on the day of judgment, you're going to know you heard the truth. At least you've heard the truth. Because what we're fixing to get into today in our culture is we're going to cross everything up and expect there to be a blessing. We've got almost a 60% divorce rate because in the 60s, we started crossing cables expecting great results. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I live in the 21st century now, and I say it's time to evaluate the experiment. There eventually comes time to say, okay, what did it do? We crossed all this stuff up. I don't think it's done real good. Now, women, I want you to hear me. God made women. Say that with me. God made women. Wonderfully. Beautifully, magically. But there is a difference between a man and a woman. How many of y'all are clear on that? Please be clear on that. This is basic biology. Biology 055. This is remedial biology. I have argued remedial biology with PhDs at some of our leading Ivy League universities. Apparently, those folks need to go to the farm at least once. You got to have a bull, and you got to have a heifer to have some more cattle. It don't work the other way. You say, well, verse 3, but I have feelings. You may get feelings, but you don't get what God intended. It's that I don't know why this is complex. Now, men and women, if you don't see a difference in men and women, you are just absolutely stupid. And you need to ask God today, Lord, please help me not be so stupid. I mean, let's really get down. I mean, it's that plain. I don't know any. I don't have a politically correct word to describe it. I am different from my wife. Thank God. And I don't want her to be like me. I don't want her to have hair on her chest. I don't want to kiss her and say, honey, you hadn't shaved today. I don't want her to smell like Old Spice. I don't want her to sweat. I want her to perspire. When she works out, she perspires. When I work out, she says, you stink. There's a difference between what? Men and women, and it's God intended, and some preacher needs to lay it out because obviously we're severely confused in the United States of America. Now, we got to make a choice. As a church, are we going to follow what Jesus said? Are we going to do what we want to do? If you choose to get married, then you choose to follow God's order as a believer. And if you don't choose to get married, guess what? It's A-okay. In fact, the guy that wrote one third of the New Testament said, I choose not to be married. His name's the Apostle Paul. I don't know, maybe he'd been married before and lost his wife. I don't know. But he's missing a wife and he has no desire to have one. And God used his life in a full and abundant way. Is everybody clear? But if you choose to be married, there's responsibilities to marriage.
By the way, I'm going to let you all know something. You're responsible for the children you have. I'm not, the government's not, and you men, if you make them, you pay for them. Period. Make sense? So don't be shooting bullets you can't pay for. Is that clear enough? Am I being clear today? Oh, let me see if you've heard this before. Let me be clear. I want to be clear as a bell today because guess what? Many of us are trying so many struggling things to find a full and abundant life. And the reason we have no connection with them is because we got the cables crossed. You got to submit yourself to God. Now, wives, we're going to talk about this word. It's not a bad word. Women, I want you to know right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a woman is as intelligent as a man, okay, is wonderfully made as a man. They are both equally different. Do you understand? And we have different positions to play. It's not the ones you've seen on the video. It's the principles that we have. Now, ladies, please get with me. You can get real mad with me. Go to women's ministry. Be mad. But let me tell you what. The scripture starts in this order. So I'm going to start with the wives' position. All right? You got it? Is that cool? Y'all look nervous. Not half as nervous as me. I'm going to say what the scripture says. So you can argue with me all you want. All I know is this. Here's all I can tell you from the proof of my life. I've lived 28 years. Isn't that right, honey? It's 28, isn't it? 28 years of marriage with a woman that has followed this godly principle. I don't know if you all understand this. I'm not easy to live with. I'm just not an easy personality type to live with. I'm spontaneous. I'm rambunctious. I'm full of energy. If we're going to do it, let's do it now. I'm not very patient. Any of y'all wired like that? And you know what? We've stayed married. Some of you go, you could ask Elizabeth, is sometimes your husband a jerk? She'd go, yes. But I have learned that God lords over jerks. Elizabeth, have you and I liked each other every moment that we've known each other and taken a breath? Absolutely not. But we didn't leave just because we didn't like each other. I mean, this is how weak we are. I got people coming off, Pastor Dean, I just don't like her anymore. Yeah, but we got a problem. You got four kids and a God-called responsibility, and I really don't care, as a 45-year-old man, if your emotional, personal, gooey makeup is all feeling good. Change your panties. Change them. And put some boxers on. And be a man. And say, you know what? Right now, my wife and I don't particularly respond to each other very well, but I'm going to follow the order of God. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to love her. And guess what? Then things start getting in order. Am I making any sense here today? I know this is controversial. I'll see some of you going, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tweet this. Well, tweet this. This is what God said. Tweet this. You ready? Wives, you say, what's my position? Submit to your husbands. Okay, now watch, that word just drives us crazy. Does that mean I got to do what he says? Sometimes, but not all the time. As, see, there's always a comma. No, watch this. All these people that bust on Christianity, they don't know the Bible. They don't read the rest of it. Wives, submit to your husbands, comma, as fitting in the Lord. So if I come in and go, Elizabeth, in the name of Jesus, he wants me to trade trucks today. Now, I've tried this. So I'm giving you something I've tried. She said, how many miles your truck got on it? 25,000. Time to trade it. She goes, what about the Lord talking about not being, you know, in debt, submissive to the lender? I said, he didn't mention that. She said, good, well, he's using me to mention the rest of the Bible to you. You know what she was doing? Submitting as to the Lord. She said, wait a minute, honey. Yeah, you're going to lead, but right now your leadership ability is not real good. And I'm going to submit, but we're going to submit ultimately to the truth of God. And what you just talked about is not in line with who? God. God. That's the way submission works. Does that make sense? But wives, I want to give you three things. I'm going to tell you from a guy's side that really submission does. First of all, wives, you got to engage with your husband. You got to engage. You got to engage. You're in this together. You got to engage. He's not there to be your daddy. Girls, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't no husband going to treat you like your daddy. Your daddy thinks you don't do anything wrong. Your husband knows you do. I just like my mama. My mama tell Elizabeth, oh, isn't he sweet? She goes, yeah, you should have heard him last night. That's a different relationship. That's why some of y'all don't even be going home all the time. That's why you like to go home, because your parents think you're perfect. Well, they ought to be smacked for thinking that. And smacked again for telling you that. None of us are perfect, man, but we got to engage with each other. Make sense? So watch this. This requires some things. We got to spend some time together. And you know what? We don't have that world. I don't know about y'all, but Elizabeth and I had a kitchen. We have a kitchen table. We got one a few years ago. We hadn't sat in that thing in 15 times our whole marriage. We got little stools with a bar, and Elizabeth sits in front of us, and it's kind of like short order, and we zip through life, and she gave us some, you know, burritos, SpaghettiOs, and stuff along the way, and we had a big time, and guess what? You know, boom, all of a sudden the kids grow up. And all right, Clacy, I mean, we never sat down, and Mom dressed up in her dress, and I had my tie on, and we came in, and I said, now, Blake, how was the day today? Did the Lord bless you today? And Clacy, did you read your upper room devotional and explain to me how God connects to calculus? Because if she started talking about calculus, I'm disconnected anyway. That's not the world we live in. And don't even try to find that world, because that's not even the world God designed. That's a figment of your imagination. Some of y'all try to play. Listen, some of the worst messed up situations I've had are people who are still trying to live in the 50s. They produce some of the most drug-addicted children in the world. Now, here's why. They deny instead of engage. Wives, you got to engage with your husbands. You say, well, he makes me mad. Well, you make him mad too. Engage with him. Who cares if you get mad? Grow up. You're an adult. 12-year-old girls worry about getting upset. 25-year-old women and mothers get things done. So there's a good challenge, man. Submission allows me to get things done instead of just be upset about things. Number two, let me help you all with something. Engage, do not nag. Young men, right now, I'm just going to tell you right now. If she's 15 years old and you're hearing, ning, 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 at 15, let me help you. At 30, wah, 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 wah. So let me tell you what I'd do. I'd break up with her today. All right, men, how far y'all want to go in this service today? Let's see if we're ready for the cross. Men, I want you to raise your hand if you enjoy a woman nagging and complaining at you on a constant basis. Raise your hand if you enjoy that. Look around, ladies. Now raise your hand if it absolutely drives you out of your mind to hear the same subject more than 4 times in 2 minutes. Ladies, it drives us out of our minds. And guess what we want to do? Well, so I can either go home and listen to my wife tell me all her complaints, or I can go play golf. Four. That's not engaging. Ladies, now listen, I'm kind of using this in a humorous way to put a little anesthetic to it. Some of you girls got to quit. Just ta 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 ta. We are men. We do not have a complex brain. We do not synthesize emotional energy like you all do. When we come home, watch. This is what our brains are doing. Food, 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 food. Food, food, food. Because everything in us is going, I am hungry, I am hungry. Women, I want you to understand the men. We have 3 basic needs. Watch this. I'm hungry. I'm tired. And I'm horny. That's it. I'm sorry for the guest here today. I got to make it clear. You okay?
It's real. I mean, I can sit up, watch this. If you need the video, there's another church down the road that'll pretend that world exists. But that world doesn't exist. And I want us to get it right. Ladies, listen. Engagement and conversation ought to do this second thing. Engage. Do you know your husband? Do you know his desire to love you? Now listen, you bring him back next week. Don't you skip next week because it's his turn next week. I'm following the order of Scripture. And don't you ladies get all mad at me because I was a little mad at the Scripture. It's got one verse, wives submit to your husbands. But oh, read on down there in Colossians. We get a husband mandate and then a father mandate. Didn't say nothing about mamas. You know what kind of led to me? If you'll be an enhancing wife, you automatically become a enhancing mother. And really this boils down to this. It's not about us. When we get married, it's not about us. Oprah lied. It's not about you. See, the world says life is designed for you to be happy. That's what everything's been screaming at you since the day you were born. Everything. Shane, since the day you were born, since you came out, you know, hey, took that first breath. Everything in the world has told you, every school teacher, your parents, your ball coaches, it's about you, and it's not. Here's the problem. We believe that. And so when we get married, we start colliding. You know why? Because we think we're equal. It's not about being equal. You see, if you go into marriage about being equal, that's why you have all this, well, I did the laundry. Well, I mowed the yard. Well, I went to the mall. Well, I went to the auto store. Well, I got me a new dress. I got me some new boots. I bought me this. I got me a gun. It's not tit for tat. That's just, so childish. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 says when we begin to follow Christ, we need to put childish ways behind us and pick up, you know, mature ways, ways that are a blessing. What happens, wives, if you engage, and let me give you the second E, enhance your husband. Elizabeth enhances me. I can confess that to you. I would not be the pastor you have. I would not be the man that I am. I would not have seen the reality if it was not for my wife, because she has never been a burden to me one day. She has always been an enhancer. And even when I've been stupid, guess what she's been doing? Guess what? She's brutally honest. She goes, honey, this isn't right, but I'm staying with you. What are you waiting on? You'll get it right sometime. That's what. And so, man, I want you, listen, your position of leadership in the family, I want you to take, I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be willing. I got to be willing to lead. Makes sense? I got to be willing to do that. Are you going to mess up? Yeah. I've messed up. You've messed up. How many of you parents have messed up at least once? We mess up. But guess what? If the cables are in the right order, it'll still work. That's when we cross all the cables up, that no matter what we do on the outside, nothing will be fixed on the inside. This is an inner experience. Wives, quit the wah-wah. Pray. If you don't like him, you know what I pray to your God? Give me that zeal for my husband. Because here's what I know. Everybody liked each other when they got married. True? I've never seen anybody come to the altar going, I tell you what, I'm fixing to marry this person because I just can't stand them. Have you ever heard that? Well, why are you marrying so-and-so? I just can't stand her and I just want to be married to her. I've never heard that. I mean, at the beginning of marriage, it's always, oh, they're the most wonderful person I've ever seen. I mean, I look at Blake and Rachel, I get so tickled, you know. She's like, Blake. I look at Elizabeth, I said, there's a faint memory one time I heard you call my name like that. You know how all y'all brides, you know, when you say, y'all all get that twinkle eye, you know what I mean? Y'all look at your husband, you're like, oh. Then after about 5 years, you're like, oh. And after 15 years, you're like, About 30, you're going, there he is. You know, at 50, you're going, it won't be long. You start smiling when you hear, to death do us part. Oh. But that joy. So ladies, does that make sense? Let's talk about submit. Man, be willing to do this. If you choose to be married, Okay? And a lot of people choose to be married. If you choose to be married, you got to live it out right.
Engage. That means you got to talk, you got to spend time, so you got to create that space. Okay?
Number two,
enhance. Find ways to enhance your husband. Tracking him down everywhere is not enhancing him. Man, I got some buddies, man, they're married to wives. I don't know how they do it. I mean, like, we'd be out on a golf course, and they get 20 calls in 2 hours from their wife. And I'm like, is she an invalid? I saw this one time, and it fried my everlasting mind. You got to understand, I'm old school. I'm sitting in the middle of a meeting. We're trying to get some things done. And a stay-at-home mom calls the guy that I needed to get things done to go pick up the kids. And guess what he did? He's no longer with us because he was out of order. It's not lord over each other. It's engage with each other, enhance each other. Marriage is not a power game of who's going to win. God's already won. Marriage is about living in the victory. Does that make sense? And man, when you put those cables together right, guess what? It's a pretty cool relationship. You know, I'm kind of excited. I mean, if Elizabeth and I get to live a long time, we'll be old one day together. I told Clancy I'm going to come live with her. And guess what she said? No, you're not. She said, Dad, I'm creating a facility. It's going to look like you're at the dock of the lake. And every room's just going to be the front of a houseboat. And she said, you're probably going to lose your mind anyway, so I'm just going to stick you in there. And you can just walk back and forth and talk to everybody like you've done all these years. And you won't even know you're not at the lake. I said, that's a good idea, Clancy. She said, you know, you can walk in. Somebody will feed you over there and somebody will feed you over there. But I'm really going to live with Clancy. I told her that I would just sit in the corner of my rocking chair and say absolutely nothing. She said that would be absolutely impossible. Engage, enhance. Wives, if you choose to be a wife, if you choose to be a wife, as a husband, this is the greatest thing a wife can give. I'm going to give you the secret, and I'm going to get out of here. Men, I'm giving up the secret today. Cameron, I'm giving up the secret. You ready? Donna, I'm giving up the secret. Encourage. If you want your husband to become the leader that you want to be, don't throw him a book written by some woman that doesn't understand men. Y'all are crazy throwing all them devotional books at us. How many books do you see us read? Huh? Sports Illustrated is short articles. Y'all throw novels. We don't do novels. If you notice, the only reason your boyfriend went to Twilight with you is you liked it. I didn't see a guy one going, oh, I can't wait to go see Twilight. And if he was, I was worried about him. But watch this. Do you know what a woman can do that'll totally change a man? Remember this, Stephanie? I mean, Miller cannot resist this when you brag on him. Teresa, am I all right? You brag on Mr. Gregory, what happens to him? Oh, that male ego. I mean, he's like, my gosh. She says, Scott, the yard looks so beautiful. He's like, I'm the best lawnmower guy in the world. I mean, he's well around his front yard. I mow yards, but look at my neighbor's yard. That's a shoddy yard, but my yard. Encourage. I can say this about my wife. She has encouraged me. When I've had moments that I've wanted to give up, I'll tell you, I'll confess this to you. About 10 years ago, I was ready to get another calling. I'd about had enough of some of the tricks around here. About had enough of juvenile delinquent staff members is what I'd had enough of. I said, Elizabeth, I got an opportunity. She says, you're not fulfilling what God wants you to do. You know why I got mad? Donna, guess why I got mad? She was telling me the truth. And she said, what are you going to do? She said, you're going to pull your boots up and be faithful. That's what you're going to do. Then she looked at me and she said, honey, there's one thing about you. You ain't always been right, but you've always been faithful. By gosh, I have. Now, I ain't the smartest man in the world because I'm so brilliant, I'll put my battery cables on backwards. but I'll stand in the boat while it blows up, by gosh. So ladies, listen. It don't matter what you give us, just give us something. And even tell the truth. Elizabeth told the truth. She said, when have you ever given up on anything? And I went, well, I've never given up. She said, how did you play football? She said, how did you get as far? She said, honey, you weren't talented. I said, you're right. But she said, let me tell you what happened to you. She said, you would hit and hit and hit and hit, and the guy across from you couldn't go as long as you. Guess what I said? You're right. She said, you've been hit and hit and hit. Now be faithful. And I was being a little sissified. I said, well, you know what hurts? She goes, yeah, I know, but you'll be all right. Well, she just spoke what? Encouragement in my life to be what? Faithful. Wives, y'all can do that, can't you? Now listen, what did I tell you? Next week, bring who back? Husbands. How many of y'all have ever had a family like that black and white video? I've never seen that anywhere in reality. It all lives on TV. How many of y'all realize Christian couples have arguments?
Yeah.
Why? Number one reason, we're humans. We're trying to figure it out together. If you tell me you have a perfect marriage and hadn't ever, you know, these little Christians go to me, well, we have a perfect marriage. Really? I remember one time Elizabeth and I, we got trapped in this situation. We had to talk about marriage, and Elizabeth and I didn't like to talk about marriage. And we were at this conference out in Colorado where there's a lot of really pretty Christian people. And I walk in with my flip-flops and holy jeans. And Elizabeth walks in with me, and we got Mr. and Ms. Perfect Christian on the panel. And so all these pastors said, what do y'all do when, you know, tensions come up? And this lady goes, well, what my husband and I do is I take his hand and we go prayer walking for a half a mile. So they looked at me and they said, Pastor Harris, what do you do? I said, we fight like hell. And ask Jesus Christ's grace to be in it. And guess what happened? Buffy and Jody Christian, they didn't have anybody come talk to them. Because guess what? They knew they were reading a script and not living a life. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to close on this. The world is tired of watching our theatrics. But man, the world is hungry, Bobby. They are hungry to see the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. Church, there's so many of you that have so many fantastic marriages. Jimmy and Ann, you spoke into my life at a wedding reception. I saw y'all dancing gracefully together. And I said, when I grow up, I want to dance like Jimmy and Ann. Y'all are speaking and don't even know you speak. Y'all are here every Sunday. Y'all have loved each other for more than a couple years, yeah? And you still love each other. I even still see you give him the woo-woo eye, you know, like you're still impressed. I'm like, his brother's got it going on. Harold Carey, you and Judy. Well, you've lived your family. Judy Harold talks about you like he was in the seventh grade and just met you. Of course, God's given him an overdose of encouragement too. I love it. But he talks about my beautiful Judy. Guys, that's Richard, you and Tony. Even though tough times occurred, what happened? He said, our God's more powerful than the difficulty. I want to tell you, I thank God for a church that lives it out real. Guys, I want to tell you, younger couples, I love you. I want you to stay married. We're full bore with you. We've heard you, and we want you to get married when it's time to get married, and we want you to stay married. Charlotte, we're so thankful for that beautiful baby girl there. I missed one, but God didn't. That's what? Your daughter. And there's going to be a whole lot more coming in. But you know what? I want them to have some old couples that they can come to and say, hey, when you were in your 30s, did you go through this? Yeah. And let me tell you how we hung in there. I engaged with my husband, and we held hands and fought the battle. Isn't that right, Joe? We fought the battle, man. I sought to enhance him instead of tear him down when it was difficult. And I encouraged him to be the leader God had made him to be. Wives, try that on your husband. I bet they like it. What do you think, John Paul? So watch this. Here's what I'm asking you to submit to. Engage with him. That means you got to talk to him. Men, I'll get to you next week, but just do a preview. Leadership is not dictatorship. That's probably a lesson we're all going to need to be very aware of. Leadership is not what? Dictatorship. We'll talk about that next week. But wives, submit to this. I'm going to engage with him. I'm going to enhance him. I'm going to encourage him and tell me what the week looks like. Yeah. How many sometimes you ladies look at what's wrong? Have you ever looked at what's right? You know, these husbands very rarely hear this. Honey, I want to thank you for providing the lifestyle that I get to live. You've sacrificed and you win and you made sure these things were going. You know, I hear that very rarely from stay-at-home moms. Honey, thank you for going the extra mile. Thank you for working those 12 hours today. I bet that'd melt some of them down. Instead of, can you run so-and-so here and such here and this and that there and this and those there? Young women, let me help you. I'm going to relieve a family. Your husband cannot make $100,000 a year and be home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon unless he's dealing drugs. And then he's not going to be there very long. Y'all are unrealistic. You're out of your minds. If you want him to make that kind of money, then he's going to work some hours. That's just the way it is. It's what? It's the principle. All right, has this made sense today? I know I've gotten the nitty-gritty. I know some of y'all are probably really mad at me. You can post that at Jamie Ward. No, I have nothing to apologize for. It's the Word of God. And guess what? I have a daughter-in-law now. It's weird. I told my daughter-in-law, I said, I've known 6 generations of heirs males. They're not easy to live with, but they don't leave. And I told her that. I said, several of them have produced families that have died for their country, Shane. I have family that lays in that cemetery. Elizabeth has family that lays in that cemetery. So I take things very serious. I can't be Mary Poppins. I know what went on to make it happen for me. And I want to make it happen for the next generation. All you young couples, we want you to have the most fantastic marriage you can have. You okay with that, Carly? As your pastor, I want you to have the best blessed marriage. And I want you to be the most exciting, godly wife that could possibly ever be. Is that cool? You got some examples here. Instead of going to some marriage counselor that's been divorced 25 times, why don't you try listening to somebody that's been married, you know, since Noah hit the, like Dr. Earl and Cindy, they've been married. I mean, they knew Noah. Yeah. And they've been married that long. No, I'm going to ask Earl. Cindy, you spoke into my wife's life 10 years ago and had no idea what you said to her. You were just being Cindy, but God was using you in that moment because you've been a pastor's wife. And you spoke into her life and her head went up where it should have been. And she's lived it. I mean, you enhanced it. You didn't even know it. Because, see, that's what it means to live out the life. So here's my challenge. I think we ought to get rid of all of our T-shirts, all of our bumper stickers, all these silly bracelets, and all these comic books that we've written about God. Because obviously we've done that for about 30 years, and the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. I think we ought to have exciting, fantastic marriages. Wouldn't it be great to sit down? Tim, wouldn't it be great, you two guys that teach, and you get to sit down with your buddies, and they go, man, why is your wife like that? Oh, man, we're practicing Christians. We follow Jesus. Instead of hearing this, wah, 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 wah. What's your life like? Well, she's a Christian. Well, God, I want a Buddhist. I'm serious. It makes a difference. Next week, we'll get to the husbands, okay, girls? Ain't none of us perfect except God. And he's got an order that works, doesn't it, Marshall? You've lived for several years, haven't you? Yeah, 48 years, praise God. Miller, your wife has stayed with you. Only God could cause that to happen. You're in the same boat I'm in, brother. This stuff works, amen? All right, it's kind of eerie silent, but I'll tell you what, none of it works till you get the battery. And here's the battery. You got to be saved. You say, well, why do I need to be saved? Number one reason, you're a sinner.
You're not innately a nice little person that God has created. You don't have a little hole in the middle of your heart yearning for some warm fuzzy from the celestial. You and I are absolute disobedient human beings in opposition to God. We have sinned not against ourselves, but against, guess who? God. And God, in His rich mercy and grace, in spite of our sin, has reached down from heaven unto earth, giving His only Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever might believe in Him and surrender to His grace, those that He calls to His grace, that receive His grace, might be remade into a new life that lasts forever and ever and ever. I think this is a great message. And it's true. So today, guess what? Some of you need to say, Lord Jesus, come in my life, forgive me my sin. You can't be a godly husband without God. You can be a good husband, but you can't be a godly husband. I'm not talking about good marriage. I'm talking about what kind of marriage? Godly. This is my godly wife. It was kind of weird. I have a godly wife, and I look at a godly daughter. Wonder how in the heaven that happened. She passed her godliness to her what? And as much as I kid Clancy, one day, her husband will be all right. You know why? Because she's had a godly mother. And she can always say, if my mama could be married to my dad, I can stay with you for two lifetimes. She's seen what? Faithfulness. Clancy, did you ever have to worry about your mom and dad divorcing? Did you see them fight? Absolutely. And we were good at it, weren't we? And I won the majority of fights, don't you think? Okay, I was just checking. It's real. I'll be that real with you guys. Now, really, she's telling the truth. I didn't. I'll tell you who won. I'll tell you who Elizabeth and I, after we quit trying to get our own way, when we have confrontation, we're actually confronting the matter. That's not a bad thing. You can confront. Joe, you confronted, yeah. I think we ought to confront each other to get to what God wants. Make sense? Here's what I found about polite people. They're nice, but they never get anything done. They just never get anything done. They just live a life of like those two chipmunks from Disney. They just open doors for people, but they never open doors. But in that confrontation, that the truth of God might come forth. Amen? So guess who wins? God. I have to disagree with a co-laborer in the faith, Rob Bell. He said love wins. Love doesn't win. Love is only a part of God. Justice is a part of God. Wrath is a part of God. Truth is all of God. And let me tell you who wins. God wins. Because God is. And here's the good news today. And you could be with Him. And because you're with Him, guess what? Because you're with Him, Robin, all things become what? Possible. Cool deal? I love you guys. A little tough today, yeah? Yeah. So if you were having some marriage problems, I'd check the battery. Nothing will work. Boy, you hooked those cables up. Guess what? My TV came back on. Luckily, the facility started flushing again. That was a joy. All over two screws and misplaced cables. Check your order. Make sure it's God's. Let's stand together. Lord, there are people in the house today. What a great day it's been, Lord. Beautiful music, beautiful people singing. Lord, I thank You for all the blessed marriages in here. Lord, I could preach all day just on the stories that You've written in the hearts of Your people. But today, Lord, there's some that need to come to Christ. Listen to me. If you don't have a relationship with Christ and you felt God drawing and pulling you, going, wait a minute, I need that. I need that in my life. Tell Him today, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I want to repent. I want to receive You. If you've done that sometime during the week through ministry or friends led you to the Lord, you need to follow up in baptism. That's important. We don't step aside that here at Hillview. Baptism is important. And so, you know, come forth, tell one of the pastors, man, I want to get baptized soon, and we'll work that out for you. All right, husbands, I'm going to challenge you. I prayed with Elizabeth this morning. God's giving you a wife. You know what I'd do?
I'd bring her up here and say, honey, thank you for loving God. If you got your fiance with you, I'd say, Lord, we want to fall in order before we even get this thing started. If you're thinking about getting married and you're single, you know what? I would pray that God begin to show me someone that was compatible to how God made me. Make sense? Some of you girls, you just go get bucket heads. God didn't make you to be in relationship with a bucket head. Okay? Find somebody you can engage with. That means they got to have more conversation than their favorite Super Mario game, especially if you hold a PhD. Can you enhance who they are? Or do you hinder who they are? And are you willing to speak encouragement into their life? If you're willing to do those things, go have dinner with them. If you know right off the get-go, save their money and yours too. Be smart. Blessed are those who think in the ways of the Lord. Amen? So be careful. Be loved by God. All right, let's go with Miss Alter up. And I just want to pray one more time. If there's some marriages that need to be healed, let's ask God to start that healing process today, okay? Here's what I want you to know. You do not have to get divorced. So, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. Let me help you. I guarantee you, at my age now, there ain't nothing you can tell me that I hadn't heard. But what I got to tell you, you hadn't heard. Because I've seen God work a lot of impossible things out. Now, Oprah can't solve them. And Tupac Woochop can't solve them. Because they tell you a lie from the beginning. They tell you it's about how you feel. God doesn't care how you feel. He wants you to see what he can be in you. Isn't that amazing? That's the reality, man. I'm giving you the truth. So you can decide to live in the truth that sets you free or the lies that make you feel good. That's really the battle today, isn't it? It's the battle of the world. Oh, by the way, I just want to let you know, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. Because he can't get you, so he has to deceive you. Because he knows if you ever find the truth, it is impossible for him to reign over you. Isn't that amazing, Pastor David? So don't be lied to anymore. Let God heal you, all right? Lord, I pray for any marriage that's on the verge of being broken or already broken. Lord, just for people today that feel like there's no hope, I pray, Lord, right now you speak hope into them. Those who need salvation, they'd come and repent of their sins. Those who need to be baptized, they'd be baptized. Those who just need to speak a kind word to each other, they'd speak a kind word. Lord, breathe life into the marriages that participate in a place called Hillview Heights Church. I just pray those marriages be full of life. And Lord, they'd be better this week than they've ever seen in the name of Jesus. Amen, Pastor Jamie? They'd be better than they've ever seen this week in the name of Jesus. So church, guess what? Bring your wife up here. Thank her for being that. Hey, if she hasn't done those things, go ahead and pre-thank her that she's going to do them this week, okay? All right, and see what happens. Come on, altar's open. Let's go quick. We got to change up services so we can't stare at God here for 10 minutes. We got to go ahead and move with him today. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys, for coming. Pray over these marriages. Amen. Amen.